How would people know you in the community, like around here besides?
I am one of the co-owners of Unplug the Board Game Cafe, and we just opened up our escape rooms. Unplug presents No Escape downtown on Queen Street.
Sweet.
No Escape.
And you guys have two locations, correct?
Yeah, we have another one in Riverview in Moncton.
Any plans for a third one?
Possibly. Definitely. There's always plans for a third one, like, and a fourth one, and
like,
a fifth one.
Like St. John or something like that.
Yeah, maybe St. John.
That's chaining to Unplug.
Yeah.
This is Gamers of the Roundtable. We have a great show for you guys tonight. We're going to be doing our
part two.
Our part two of consoles of the 90s. I can't speak today.
That's why I got your back.
But we're going to start off with what you've been playing segment. I'm going to let Travis go ahead here.
First. Ooh, thanks. I've been playing Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain.
Ooh, a favorite.
Yeah.
How far are you into that game?
Man, I've been playing for like 3 months, and I think I'm only at 24% or something like that. I do all the side missions and stuff as they come up type things. So
we park our cars in the same garage, me
there,
and you.
Yeah, I'm like that too. There is 156 side missions and 50 side missions, and 50 main missions, and some of the main missions are about 5 hours apiece. So I am 20% done the game, I think. 22% done, I think, around that. So, which is, you know, but I feel like as I do this job, like, we get so many games coming in and coming out. Like, I feel like I'm never gonna get back to it. I honestly feel like that, just because I'm like, okay, I gotta do this, pushing it out.
There's like a ton of games out there, and they're like, you know, once you get like, you know, started on one game, there's another one coming out, and it's like, you know, just life happy. Yeah.
Plus, we have embargoes to agree to, and like,
guys, it only gets worse as you get older. Your time gets much more limited.
Trust me, I know. As they say, the struggle is real. struggle is real.
Anything else you've been playing?
Yeah, I've been playing The Last of Us Remastered.
I like that.
I love it. I've played the original game, but I never got a chance to play the remastered version. And just playing it on the PS4 is beautiful.
Yeah,
easiest way to describe it.
I think that game in itself, and just the humanity emotion you see in that, and is just beautiful all on its own. Like anything Naughty Dog, I think, has put out since like the 2006, like on, is just gold.
Oh yeah,
they've been really making some, like, you know, some big waves and all, because they've been putting out nothing but gold lately.
And I'm a huge, my background is filmmaking, so I like things from a cinematic approach.
Yeah,
and Naughty Dog's got that down to a T.
Well, yeah, sure. Really.
Ain't we a pair? I'm a resident film buff over here.
There we go. Awesome.
Yeah, and done some like little choreography things here and there for when it comes to action things like that. So it's when it comes to like Naughty Dog, we see what they put out and the quality that they put out. And when it comes to games, and it's simply perfection at its finest when it comes to a video game.
Oh yeah, definitely, for sure. And you know, it's on all points of video game making, you know, from the cinematics to the gameplay to just
character development.
Right. It's a AAA package, and it's worth the price of admission.
I think it's because you see the a lot of the relationships in the game that unfold during that whole game from the beginning compared to the end is like, you're like, wow, okay, this is developed over time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think anyone who's a film buff or likes movies would love to play these types of games, because you get over this course of, you know, it's the campaign's what, like a 14-hour campaign or so?
Yeah, it's about four. When I first played, I beat it in 14 hours.
So I mean, you're getting a lot of character development, you're getting to know these characters, and you know, when stuff happens, you get, you know, that emotional feeling when something goes down.
Yeah,
reminds me of my time playing Telltale's Walking Dead, where you get so attached to every single character.
Exactly. Tearjerker game.
Yeah.
reminds me of, like, you know, the final scene from Carlito's Way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I will admit on the air,
wait,
yes, I cried at the very end of Carlito's Way.
The newer one or the older one?
No, the older one. Okay. Al Pacino, okay? There is no other one than Al Pacino's Carlito's Way, okay? I mean, he was just about to get away with Gail, and, you know, Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
Yeah.
You know, just came and just gave him, like, you know, three in a stomach and all. So, I mean,
I did cry. The Last of Us is a tearjerker game, though. Like, just within the 5-10 minutes of the game you play, you have that scene there of what happens, like, where you're holding your daughter and she just gets shot and, like, killed. And, like, you're, like, holding her body and, like, weeping. You're just like, man, that hits right in the feelings.
Yeah. You're like, what? Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. This is what I signed up for, I guess.
What you been playing, Big Fish?
I've been gaming with a girlfriend lately right now.
Sweet.
So I've been gaming on some Mario Kart 7.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, I was gaming on that right there. We're just, like, trying to open and unlock everything that's on that on that that game right there. And everything except for Baby Luigi, okay, we have accomplished it. We are
sweet.
The couple of the games together stays together, man. That's my motto.
That's a good deal right there.
Smart man.
Yeah.
I have my moments. I'll say that. If you ask my girlfriend, she'll tell you he has his moments and all, but other ones and all, he's just, you know.
He's a bundle of joy.
Dumber than a box of rocks. So, I mean, hey.
So that's what you've been playing, eh?
Yeah, I've been getting on that. Haven't really touched Assassin's Creed so much lately right now because I've just been, like, you know, just working some crazy hours at the airport.
I'm thinking about picking up Syndicate, actually.
I think you should.
I should.
On a side note, what is, like, the everybody right here, what is the last good movie you saw?
Last good movie I saw?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Let's let our guest go.
I'm going to let him go.
He's the film.
I was thinking. Last good movie.
The last good. You know what's very interesting? And this is, love the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Loved them.
And a lot of people didn't really like The Hobbit so much, but as a film buff,
loved it.
Okay, perfect. So I really like The Hobbit too, and I've been watching the extended editions.
Okay.
And so yesterday I actually sat down and watched all of the appendices for the first part of The Hobbit. So that's like 4 hours worth of documentary behind the scenes stuff for the film. And yeah,
nice.
Some really interesting stuff about if you're into filmmaking and you're into really technical filmmaking and wondering what kind of work goes into making these multi-block million-dollar blockbuster movies, that is those behind the scenes are the things to watch for sure.
Nice.
All right, cool.
I'm going to let you go ahead and see what's
the movie. Well, I had to watch a Mel Gibson classic, you know. I think most people slept on this movie, but it was When We Were Soldiers.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Yes. I like that movie.
You really don't hear it being talked about as much. No. But I think it's like, you know, really one of the movies right there where it's like he actually showed his range in that film right there.
Yeah,
Mel Gibson. I mean, I liked him in a lot of movies. I mean, Braveheart is one of my all-time favorites. You know, even though it's not historically accurate, it is one of my all-time favorites because of the action scenes and the war scenes. But When We Were Soldiers, Sam Elliott.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say good morning to him at all. But you know what? I buy that man a beer.
Last good movie I saw, I watched Creed. Creed was amazing.
Really? You like that?
Well, I'm a boxing fan. I'm a huge boxing person because that's what I've done. I'm actually getting ready to get back into training actually there. Hopefully I jump back in the ring.
I'll spar with you any day.
hopefully to jump back at it. So I watched that today and it was, for what I thought it was going to be, it surprised me. It was actually very good. So, and I mean, they are making two more of them from my recollection, if I do remember.
Everything's going to a three-piece, like, you know, a three-piece trilogy.
No, this isn't a three-piece.
Guaranteed third movie will be terrible? Is that what we're going for?
You know what? That right there to me is, like, you know, so disheartening. Because, I mean, I'll take it back. You probably get with me on this. Beverly Hills Cop 1.
Yeah.
Great film.
Yeah. Then 2 and 3 happened.
Yeah.
It's just like a slope and then a steep slope.
It's almost like Die Hard. It's almost like the Die Hard series.
Die Hards were okay. The Die Hards, Part 2 was okay. Then Die Harder.
Yeah.
Then Die Hard with a Vengeance. Those three were okay. Then we got Live Free or Die Hard, and you know, my heart's going bad. I mean, I had to Die Hard. And I was like, okay, now you guys are just like, you know, really trying to milk the franchise. Or I mean, case point in fact, too fast and too furious. I'm even faster now, so I'm more furious now. I was like, give me a break, fellas. Come on.
Trainer Red, what have you been? What's the last good movie you saw, and what have you been playing? So we didn't get to you for that segment.
I don't really go to movies that often. I'm not a huge moviegoer, but definitely one of my favorite movies to this day will always probably be Spaceballs.
I love that movie so much.
Schwartz be with you.
I know they're trying to redo that movie. Apparently,
I hope they do. I hope they do.
It was good the way it was. I mean, we've all seen right now the backlash. Well, I said we all heard about the backlash that, you know, Ghostbusters is having right now, the remake with the all-female cast.
I swear, it's like they've run out of ideas for movies because they're trying to rehash everything.
You know, that's my biggest pet peeve right there with big-time Hollywood right there. You know, where is the original thought these days?
Costs too much money to be original. It's cheaper to remake and reboot.
And that is really sad.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Is it really?
You know? That's totally the truth.
Oh, man. That would.
There's less there's less of a gamble. So if you have a property like Ghostbusters and you're like, oh, okay, but it made a lot of money. The first one did. The second one kind of tanked and killed the franchise. But, you know, people are craving for like that 80s nostalgia. So where are you going to go? Who are you going to call?
Remakes. Reboot.
I just watched a movie I was so looking forward to and I was so disappointed too. Was Yip Man 3.
Come on, man.
No, the first one was amazing. Second one was really good. The third one, I was like, what happened? What happened?
If you have a different director, you have a different vision.
No, it was the same director, but the way they took the story, the story wasn't the bad part. It was the action sequences and the Mike Tyson as the big enemy in it. Like, what are you doing? I love Asian cinematography because, like I said, I'm a boxing guy. I've been doing martial arts off and on since I was 4 years old. So, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I couldn't really take Mike Tyson serious as being going up against Ip Man himself.
Maybe Mike Tyson in his prime, perhaps.
Possibly.
If he was able to get one jab in there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Would you want to take a punch from him now, though? There in front of him? But yeah, guys, this is a Gamers Roundtable.
We got
a little off track.
We digress.
It happens to us on the show.
Sorry, I mentioned movies.
It happens more than a.
No,
more
it's
than a
it's okay. It happens. But yeah, that's what we've been playing.
I haven't done.
He hasn't even done his yet, so I'm gonna let him go ahead.
What's going on, Red?
I've been playing a lot of the Overwatch beta, actually.
Really? How are you liking that?
That's a lot of fun. It's disappointing that it ended, but at least it's less than 2 weeks for the actual game.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
Hopefully, yeah.
I'm working on that.
It's so much fun.
Let me ask you a question about that. I've been hearing conflicting stories about that. There is a single player campaign there, or is it all like Titanfall, where it's all multiplayer?
It's all multiplayer.
See, I don't dig on that, man. I don't dig. I like having myself a single player campaign. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy multiplayer.
Yeah.
I will get down with the best of them on some Street Fighter, Call of Duty, Battlefield, Part 1. The trailer for that was awesome. Just saying that for Radio Land, everybody. If you haven't looked on YouTube for that, check out Battlefield 1.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that later. Yeah.
Exactly. But I don't dig this only thing where it's like multiplayer only. I think it kind of cuts a throat, so to speak.
Yeah, but how would you do like a story mode to a Team Fortress style game?
It's kind of hard too.
Well, you have different backstories for each player.
Yeah, that's true.
You do. Each character does have backstory, extremely well fleshed out.
It's almost like the Division. Like, the Division's fine with it with the way it is, but I think it should have been a single player campaign, which you can do by yourself online, but like I said earlier, you need a second person to play that with you, because once you get to a level 14 or 15, you get obliterated. Literally.
And playing co-op
I taught you the foundation.
And I learned it, and I did it.
In all honesty, the Overwatch, I do like how they go for co-op, because you're gaining, when you're playing with friends and stuff, they're rewarding you with bonus EXP and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're encouraged to play with friends, but you're able to play it solo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read a thing, I think it was a couple of days ago, about how Ubisoft, they were trying, if you exploit, exploitation in their game situation where people are exploiting a glitch in their game, and they were
we're gonna ban you.
Yeah, ban you for the whole time, a lifetime ban. It's I kind of feel that's justified. If you exploit something in their game.
Yeah.
That's where I'm iffy at, because honestly, growing up around the 90s and something, you exploited stuff because it made the game more fun. I mean, obviously, if you're exploiting something to gain an advantage in a multiplayer game, yes, I can agree
that's
in that.
That's cheating.
But if you're exploiting something in the single player aspect, that's fun.
Well, yeah, okay, you know what? I can agree to that. I can see that's a gray area right there to me. But say, for instance, the Call of Duty, the glitch that was so popular was the quick scoping glitch.
Yeah. Yep.
That right there to me was just plain out cheating.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're exploiting in a multiplayer, I can agree. However, in single player stuff, one of the best known ones is exploiting a glitch to get your clock to freeze on a Pokemon game, so you can get a completion time of almost zeros.
Okay, well, you know what?
And that's a single player, but that makes it for
Here's my thought on this. If you have an exploit in a multiplayer game, if you have an exploit in a game in general, it's your fault for putting it in there in the first place.
Well, that's a design issue. Yes, I'll admit that is the designer's flaw right there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, nowadays, like, you know what? The rush to put out a AAA title.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be something in there. I mean, Microsoft even had a supposed backdoor even. So, I mean, yeah. That's like, you know, around the world.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Travis?
You know, exploiting is pretty interesting to me. And I agree as far as, like, on a multiplayer scale, exploitation is, you know, not cool.
No.
If you're doing it in a single player game, I guess it comes down to, like, your, you know, individual taste as far as, like, okay, if I exploit this game to get XYZ, have I really beaten the game?
Yeah,
my skills really, you know, reflect how I've played?
You're thinking, am I doing this the pure way? Have I honestly, like, am I in my insides, like, do I feel like I've actually beaten the game, or have I felt like I've exploited this game somehow and, like, just keep
yeah,
going?
Exactly. And it's like, you know, going back to, you know, the Super Mario Brothers with the, and I guess it wasn't even really an exploit. I just read that they intentionally put that in there. But you know that turtle where you can get the 100 men.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yep. Yep. Or the Konami one where you get the up, down, left, right.
Like the codes are like using a game. It's almost like using a game genie. Are you really beating the game at that point? Are you really doing the best that you can possibly do?
One of the better examples would be back in either. Actually, most Grand Theft Auto games cheat codes for weapons.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I always use those.
I do those on my second playthrough of a game. After I've beaten it the first time, I'm satisfied, so I can just go around running.
You know what? And I think that's actually, you hit the nail on the head right
there.
That's
cool. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You've earned it then. I would say, like, you know, you've earned it.
That's what I did, like, when I was done GTA Vice City. After I was done the campaign, I'm like, okay, I just want to, like, see how long I can get a 5-star and, like, survive. So, like, put a code in. Like, just see how
long. That's just, like, the fun of, like, you know, the Grand Theft Auto series. It's like going on a dangerous ride with the boys in blue. That's like the funnest thing about GTA.
I did that for hours.
Yeah.
Hours.
That's, like, the replay value of that game right there that makes it so great. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah. One of my favorites is in San Andreas where you have a couple missions where you have to kill someone who's driving in a vehicle. And you enter in the cheat code just to blow up all vehicles without even taking a step forward. So, because I'm pretty much just imagining, like, you step outside, blow everything up, walk back in. Oh, hey, that thing you wanted me to do? Yeah, that's already done.
All right, guys, it's time for our new segment.
Go for it.
Yeah. Last week on Friday, May the 6th, Battlefield 1 was announced over in London, Woo! England. I got offered to get, you know, taken out there.
You should have went.
I it would have been like, I was like,
crazy not to go.
I know, right?
Well, no, but like, I had looked at it and I was like, okay, and I'm glad I didn't, because the conference was only 45 minutes to an hour long. That was it.
That had been 45 minutes, I would have cherished.
But they showed the trailer and everything. They showed the trailer, which is what all they showed at this conference, and it looked really good. It takes place in World War One. There's going to be, I think they said, a six-mission campaign, mm-hmm. Seven or six different characters you're playing as, you know. So it's interesting, but I mean, if this 6-mission campaign thing is true, I'm gonna wait for it to go way down in price.
Well, the way I look at it right now, I mean, they're actually tackling an era that hasn't been done before.
I know, and I love it.
It's always been WW2, you know, or, you know, modern warfare, so to speak, you know, with, like, you know, the Afghanistan, the Iraq conflicts, like, you know, the Middle Eastern conflicts.
Unfortunately,
of sorts.
I've heard a bit of a rumor about the Battlefield 1 that they won't be including trench warfare in the game.
Wait, yes, there is.
It was seen in the trailer.
Yeah, it was seen in the trailer.
Yeah, but not, like, fleshed out to the way it is.
No, it was. It showed the first person with a guy having a gun, an automatic gun that looked like a disc for ammo.
Yeah, it's a Russian-made weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, so it had.
Yeah,
it did
I've
have
heard
trench
though, like, it's barely in though.
Oh, okay,
that sucks. It might be like only like one small part of the game.
Oh, okay, yes.
Oh, that sucks.
We did see a spot in there where they showed a guy donning a gas mask and all. Because I mean, that was like, you know, mustard gas was like, you know, a something that was heavily used in World War One.
Yeah,
yeah, but like, I've heard like it's going to be very minimal, the trench warfare, which is very odd considering what we know from World
History,
War One was like majority of it.
Release date is October 21st for that. That
nice.
Was release date for that.
Nice.
Next, we have Pokemon Sun Moon finally got a full release date,
and it looks amazing.
It will be released on November 18th. They've already got pictures of the starters and the two legendary box arts.
I saw the trailer yesterday. I'm like, okay, I have to go pick up a new 3DS now because I want this game. Travis, are you a fan of Pokemon?
Pokemon came in as I was turning into an adult, so I kind of missed that boat.
Have you been to Anna Maritime? Have you?
I've seen it. I've lived it. I've breathed it. And I totally get the appeal for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not Pokemon's not a game that I've really ever sat down and played.
I actually just started rewatching the entire series 2 days ago.
Holy,
that's gonna take a while.
But no, it's good. You got some news there?
Not really. I've just been just gaming it up. Race recently. No, I've been trying to have myself in a media blackout right now because of all the Uncharted 4 stuff going on.
I know.
I've been just like you
tomorrow.
Are you counting down? Is the timer on your phone? Set?
Oh, I was like, I was my friend who went and got it Monday night at 11. I was like shaking. I was like, I want it so bad.
Were you jonesing?
Oh, I was jonesing. I was jonesing so bad. I was like sitting there yesterday. I was checking my emails constantly because I was waiting to see if I was gonna get a code. And like, hey, we sent out your Uncharted 4. I'm like, sweet, a physical copy. Yes.
Hey, nothing wrong with it. I love physical copies.
I do too, because I
love having it in my hands.
I don't have to worry about if the internet ever cuts out on me. I can still play this game.
True.
any industry? Do you have any industry news there?
So the one thing that I read this morning before I went into work is Disney apparently is shutting down its publishing line for video games. So that means no more Infinity for all you Infinity lovers out there. And the really interesting thing too is Infinity was the highest grossing, from what I read, is the highest grossing of all those toy to game things. Okay. Like it was sold more than Lego and the Skylander series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're citing it because they're saying they're shutting down just because the cost of like the toys themselves and I think they're looking to focus elsewhere.
Okay.
And so they're saying that they're going to be leasing their properties to other companies now to make video games.
Okay. So that could open up a lot of things, like a lot of new a lot of new Disney games coming out. It could be.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, these guys.
Reimaginings,
these guys have their plates full. I mean, it's a huge company, and they've got a lot of stuff going on. I mean,
Star Wars.
They're one of those companies where they're too big to fail.
Really, it is.
I mean, come on. They got Star Wars and Marvel. So I mean,
if they acquire DC, it's all over.
Oh goodness! don't say that. Don't say that. We have to leave something out for the little guys. I mean, not saying that DC is little. Not saying that at all. But I mean,
no, because Warner Brothers owns it.
Exactly. So we gotta have there can't be a total conglomerate of where they hold everything in their hands. You know.
Yeah.
I just keep getting that one thought by myself right now of Spider-Man thing was 3 and all where you had I thought it was like the power of the sun.
Oh yeah.
On my hand.
Oh no, that was two.
Okay, part two. Yeah. Senior moment right there.
I'm a comic book nerd, so I know these things. I haven't seen Captain America yet, but I want to so bad.
It was fantastic.
I heard that was really good.
What's that?
I saw it opening night Thursday.
Really?
Yeah.
You went to Cineplex, okay? How crazy were the lines?
All right, so the longest lineup I've ever been part of was for Star Wars Episode 1. They used to do the lineup so they'd go outside, and the lineup snaked around out to Walmart. That's the longest line I've ever seen.
Dang, that's insane.
The Captain America Civil War lineup, not that long, but is probably the longest line I've seen since then. Longer than even the Star Wars for...
Seven?
Seven, yeah, longer than that. Like, and I was at the very back of that line, too. Yeah, because I had to wait for my daughter. So I was picking her up, and she was like putting her makeup on or whatever. Come on, we gotta get there.
It's the movie theater. Nobody's gonna see you.
Yeah, exactly.
Teenagers.
But the movie's fantastic. It's probably the best Marvel movie.
I heard it was the action packed from beginning to end.
Yeah, it's and it's sweet action too.
Nice.
I cannot wait.
Hilarious. Everything Batman versus Superman should have been. Sorry, I'm taking this into a movie.
No. You know, I've heard nothing good about the Batman Superman. I digress.
Trainer, you look like you wanted to say something.
I'm just still waiting to get around to going to watch a Ratchet and Clank movie.
Yeah, I want to see.
See that.
I am so disappointed. I've heard nothing but like mediocrity with the movie.
It's very funny. It's funny from game critics, such as people who work at IGN. They didn't like the movie, but they love the game. But fans of the game series love the movie and they love the game. So it's one of those things that's like. Okay, you're a viewer. You're getting paid to do this. Yeah, but fans who have played the games loved it. They loved it. I think I know I think I saw people who were going to see it for like a second or third time.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good because I'm a huge Ratchet and Clank fan.
Yeah. Those games
Ratchet
are awesome.
Yeah.
Super awesome. But yeah, let's get to our main topic tonight, guys, which is Consoles of the 90s Part 2, which we are focusing on Nintendo 64 and the PlayStation 1, which were, when, was it 16-bit, these things,
yeah,
or 32? Or 30,
it was a 16-bit duel back then.
Or was the 32-bit?
Well, 32-bit came in a little bit afterwards and all, but right back then.
64.
Is it 64? It is 64.
Nintendo 64.
Yeah. Right.
There you go.
Hey.
There you go.
Well, there were a couple. There were a couple 32 bits out there. I mean,
yeah.
I think what was it? The Lynx. That was 64. Yeah. It was made by Atari and all. They were trying to get back into the fight and all. But I mean, Sega and Nintendo, the basically gave them a knockout blow to just put them
Should
out.
We include the Sega Dreamcast?
Dreamcast.
Dreamcast
had a slow, painful death.
Yeah, that's why I didn't really. I really put up the successes that were out there. Like the things that were probably the most influential, like back then, like the 64 and the Sony were like going head to head.
Yeah.
Because Sony, like if you guys remember, Sony was trying to collaborate with Nintendo at one point, and they said this will never make it. They're like, well, screw you guys. We're just going to go somewhere else and do it.
Yeah.
What did you have? Like, what games did you have?
Oh,
like,
man. So, I never owned a Nintendo 64. My friends all had the 64, and they were, you know, like GoldenEye guys.
Nice. Yeah.
Love that game.
And I remember when 64 came out, and I saw the controller, and I was, like, so confused by that controller.
Yeah.
It was like playing with a hamburger in your hand.
It's still probably the most awkward controller ever to hold in, like, today.
Yeah, it's so weird, and Nintendo always comes out with the weirdest controllers. But
except GameCube.
Yeah,
GameCube is the solidest one to this day.
Yeah.
So the games I was playing, I actually made a list here of the games I was playing, so I wouldn't forget.
Too, so.
It's okay. So Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3.
Resident Evil 1 was the first PlayStation game I was ever exposed to. It was at my grandparents', went down the basement. My uncle's playing. I was like, what is this? Scared the crap out of me because I was 4.
Yeah, and you know what? As terrifying as Resident Evil was, Silent Hill for me,
yeah,
the first one,
yeah,
freaked me out, man.
Played that
like,
too.
It was scary. Like I remember, I had really my surround sound system up, and it was like so terrifying. I mean, you go back and play it now; it's laughable, like, the graphics and stuff. But at the time, it was frightening.
Yeah,
I played. You know, I was Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9.
Oh,
Metal Gear. Come on.
Oh yeah.
Nice. Yep.
You know what? And what's really interesting, and a lot of people leave this off their list, but Ape Escape.
Oh, I love that game.
So, you know, when the PlayStation 1 first launched, it didn't have DualShock.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it was DualShockless, and Ape Escape was designed around to show off what a DualShock could do.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the greatest game in the world, but it was really interesting to be able to play with the
DualShock.
The analog sticks. Yeah. And then, what was, you know, Parappa the Rapper?
Oh, I love that game.
I remember that one.
That was such a good one.
Nice little
Parappa
one.
The Rapper.
Yeah. That was actually kind of silly to me.
it was to everybody, so.
And,
it was a funny game, though. It was funny.
You know, and Naughty Dog really got its foothold. It wasn't their first game ever produced, but, you know, the Crash Bandicoot series.
Oh, yeah. I'll still never forget the commercials of, like, it being outside of a Nintendo place, like, yelling through a, what were those, a megaphone?
The megaphones,
yeah. Just, like, saying, like, hey, we got this. You guys don't. You guys kind of suck and all that.
And I really think that marketing is really what kicked Sony into overdrive. You know,
sure did. Because
you know, Nintendo really had a stranglehold with the Super Nintendo, and then the Nintendo 64 did great. But like Sony really used the PlayStation 1 to catapult past it, and then you know, once you get into the PS2 era, it's a whole different ballgame, right?
AKA sequel saga.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then one last game two last games that I played that people aren't, it's not a really huge thing, but I don't know if anyone remembers Legends of Dragoon.
Yes.
You
could be like a dragon.
Exactly.
An RPG.
Yes, an RPG. It was like a Final Fantasy kind of knockoff. And the other one was a Spider-Man game. They had two. The first one was really good.
Was the first one was like, it shows him on a building climbing up?
Yeah.
I loved that game.
Yeah.
I remember, I still remember playing that. I had it on the 64, and then I was like, I remember waking up super early, just sitting in my soccer beanbag chair. Mom's like, did you eat breakfast? Yeah, I totally did. Totally did, because I was too addicted to that game. Could not do it.
Yeah.
That's just that Dragoon was awesome.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that final fight. It took like, I feel like it was almost an hour for that last fight in that game.
I think all RPGs are like that, right?
Yes,
like the bad guy has like six different like bodies that you have to beat.
Exactly.
It was lengthy too, that Spider-Man game. It was lengthy.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Train of Red?
Gonna let you go ahead next. Honestly, most times when I played games from that generation, it was actually back when I visited a friend's house because they had an N64. I didn't have one myself.
Oh, so. did you have a PlayStation or anything like that?
Nope.
No? Oh, man.
The best I had around there was like Game Boy Colors, that kind of stuff. I was more handheld.
Oh, my God. I remember those.
So were you guys like 8 when this stuff came out? Like, how old were you guys? Roughly.
They were.
I was 7. I was 7 when I got my 64. I remember Christmas. I woke up at like 2:30 in the morning. I was like, I gotta go back to bed. Can't open up the stuff yet. I'm like, okay. 4:30 comes around. I'm like, okay, can we open it now?
See, that's why I was a master, I'll say, rapper, so to speak, and all. Yes, if my mom listens to this for now, I'm sorry, Mom, because you're going to hear about it now. She would get me, like, you know, a game and all, for Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, I had, like, a little X-Acto knife.
Oh!
I would cut the tape on there, right? And it's like, you know, I pulled out. So, I mean, hey, it was there looking at me the whole time. I had to try it. It was calling. It was like I was jonesing. It was calling out to me. So I would just, like, you know, take it out the package, play it for, like, you know, an hour or two while she was at work, come back, when she first come back, put it back in there, wrap back up, take back on there.
How old were you at this time, though?
I was probably, like, around, I don't know, 9 or 10. Okay. So, I mean, it was just, like, you know, it had to be done.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was sitting there looking at me.
But, yeah, I had both, actually. I had a 64 and a Sony PlayStation. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I
wasn't rich.
I didn't have the 64. I had the Super Nintendo. I had a Sega Genesis and all. And those two right there, that was my gaming experience right there in the 90s right there. It was just awesome.
And what games did you play on the 64?
On the 64, like I said, I played, of course, GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't get down that much on the 64 myself.
Okay.
But the Super Nintendo, it really, that was just like, you know, that was my thing back in the day because it had Battletoads, Super Double Dragon.
Love that game.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah.
ActRaiser, just a whole slew of games that were just Street Fighter, the very first part that came out right there. That was just like, you know, just catapulted me, like, you know, into the gaming fever that I'm still in today.
I want to yell out a game so bad right now on the Super Nintendo. It's not even funny.
Which one?
Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Oh, okay.
I love that game.
That was a great game. Nice. That was hard. Nice.
I had one called Real Monsters off some old cartoon.
Yep.
Nope. And I played a lot of that one. Nice. It was actually pretty challenging, mind you.
But, nice. Most of those games back then really were.
Yeah.
I mean, even like, you know, the Super Mario Kart that came out on the Super Nintendo right there.
Yes.
That game was really hard. It still is to this day. Those games are hard, and they will challenge you. Today's games aren't easy, don't get me wrong, but they don't think they're as hard as they were back then.
Mario Nintendo 64 is still hard to play.
Like, Mario,
it's because
Mario
of the controller.
64, nice.
It's because of the controller, that's why. Like, I don't know if you remember if you had a drift or not in that game to, like, get around corners.
Yes.
I mean, even though, like, Mario, even, like, you know, in a Super NES or NES, those games are still hard. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Really, I mean, so.
Honestly, like, one feature I remember, because they'd gotten rid of it right after Mario Kart 64, was the fact that you could spin out on your turnings.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a nasty piece of work, and
it
took time to get used to. But some of their courses are still memorable to this day. I still love them. They're some of my favorite courses. I remember one of them where they have the train going around the tracks on the course. And if the train's passing at a certain spot, you're basically just sitting there waiting with all the other racers.
some of the games I had played on the 64, like I said, I got it for Christmas, and I was like getting them like 3 times that night, like Christmas Eve night. I'm like, hey, can I open this out? It's like, no. So but I got GoldenEye with it. I remember playing 1080 snowboarding, which was fun.
Nice.
Banjo-Kazooie and Tooie, of course.
Yep, I played those. Those are awesome.
Diddy Kong Racing, which was awesome at the time, too. Fighters Destiny 1 and 2, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Mario Party 1 and 2, and Mario Tennis. I remember playing Mickey Speedway as a kid, too.
Oh.
Mortal Kombat the 64, that was cool, because the way if you got game over, you fell in this pit, and like the spikes just caught your blood all over the place. It's like, man, that's crazy. NBA Courtside, which had Kobe Bryant, I think that was the first, and this was in 1999. I think that was the first year he was in the NBA. It was either that or...
I think that was
I think in 99. Had Paper Mario.
Yes.
Yeah, Paper Mario.
It's sad to see the series die out.
Yeah.
Pilot Wings on the 64. They had an SNES version, but I played on the 64. Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2.
Yep. Those were good.
Ready to Rumble, which was a boxing game. Road Rash. Do you remember the Road Rash series? The motorcycle games where you could hit people off the bikes?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Star Fox on the 64.
Mm. Oh, great game.
Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, which was like the...
Pod racing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super Smash Bros., like the original.
That one's definitely a lot more challenging nowadays if you try it.
I'm about to yell out a game I really regret playing as a kid because it's so terrible. The Superman 64 game.
Oh, what?
No. I know.
Did you spend money on that?
No, I rented it. Okay. My parents paid for the rental. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, which I'm like, that was a big thing like back in the day.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Turok and WWF Attitude is what I played on the 64. Now some of those games like the Superman one, I definitely regret playing as a kid.
Yeah.
Like I currently at my house, I have over 5,000 video games. Literally.
What?
From I have every single game that was ever come out on the NES, SNES, and Sega Genesis.
Wow, that's impressive. What's up.
Yeah. But yeah, I have a huge collection at home. And some of the games that were on the PlayStation was awesome too. Like the Ace Combat games and Bloody Roar, Clock Tower.
Ace Combat was awesome.
Dave Mira's BMX, rest in peace to him. Driver 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
I remember
Driver.
I remember that.
A buddy of mine, we were just discussing the other day, we wish maybe someone would redo those games the way that was originally done.
Yep.
Because San Francisco was good, but it wasn't very good. Fear Effect, Gran Turismo, the originals. Jackie Chan Stuntmaster, which was my favorite game ever on that. Jet Moto, if you remember those.
Yeah, Jet Moto, yes.
You hit it. That was a classic right there.
Yeah,
I love
those games.
Okay, now part one was great.
Yeah.
Part two was even better.
Yeah. Part three got insane.
I didn't like it that much, part three, because, there wasn't as many racers on the... From the start gate right there, it was four or five racers, whereas part one and part two, you had 20 racers, you come in 20th place.
Spyro was another one I had on my
list. That was a good one.
That was Loaded. Loaded was a game I played when I was seven. I was man, I should not be playing this game. Medieval, if you guys remember that series.
Yeah, Sir, what's his name? Sir Doyle, Sir Arthur? Yeah. I can't remember yet.
Mm-hmm. Need for Speed, the original series.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Ninja Shadow of Darkness, which was good. Resident Evil was the first one I was ever exposed to. And these are the next five I'm about to name off are the exclusives that were on there. Siphon Filter.
Yeah. Siphon Filter,
Part one was great. Part two was even better.
Yeah.
They had part three. I don't think I got to that one right there. The last one I got was where you had to shoot that guy with that gas-powered shotgun into the tail rotor of the helicopter. And that was just awesome.
Tekken
was great.
I can't wait for number 7 to come out this year on the PS4. So stoked. Tenchu. I want that series to come back.
I forgot about Tenchu. Yeah. Yes. That was such a fantastic game.
It was great.
A buddy of mine was saying, no one has the license right now. It's still in the year, which means no one's making a new one. But I would love to see Sony pick that back up, redo the series.
Yes.
Maybe come out with a classic HD collection and then redo another game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
And it really was.
The original Tomb Raider and Silent Hill was my next game.
Yep. You know what I forgot to add to my list? Dino Crisis.
That was a good one.
That was a good one right there.
I got a few ones that I played a lot of actually growing up. I played a lot at my buddy's house. Obviously played Star Fox and Banjo and all those.
Yeah, those were good.
Bomberman was a big one I played a lot of.
I played that on the SNES for the first time just last year. It was awesome.
Oh,
they had a very good one for the N64 and a lot of fun. Nice. They had this really interesting hockey game where if you actually check someone enough times, they would actually be taken away on ambulance.
Oh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That reminds me of...
And they wouldn't actually be... And you would know that because they wouldn't actually be on the field anymore.
That reminds me of... The very first ones I've ever played was John Madden's football, 92.
Nice.
It was so great back then because you actually, in the championship mode, you actually could hit somebody and they'll just you see an MS come onto the field and take them off, and it was just great. No, it was actually realistic right then.
And there's one I'm surprised no one's mentioned so far for N64. It's gone away, yes, but it was so huge at the time, was Wave Racer 64.
Oh, I just remembered that. Man, that was a
really interesting game.
It was.
Just kind of disappeared, too.
Yeah. I forgot to mention Donkey Kong 64, where you had to have that extra expansion pack in the back of the controller or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That is a good one, though.
Star Fox came with the Rumble Pack, I think.
Yep. Yeah.
I think it'd be,
It's funny. I remember PlayStation, I was playing a demo, and the first time the controller ever rumbled, this was a new feature. I was playing a demo, and the controller just started rumbling. I just remember my aunt and my dad sitting behind me. I'm like, is this thing supposed to, shake like this? Because then they were feeling, they're like, it's not shaking. And it is.
That's you're having a heart attack. That's you're having a heart attack.
There's one last one that, again, I'm saddened to see the series not make a comeback, was Mega Man 64.
Yeah, right.
Well, they're doing that Mighty No. 9, which is kind of like Mega Man.
Yeah, but Mega Man 64 was a different style because it was a whole 3D version.
That's true, right.
And
that's true, yeah.
It was so well done, and it's such a shame, too. I mean, they had planned to make, a third one for the 3DS when that first came out, but that fell through.
Mario Party was a very big one, though, for me. That was a huge
1, 2, and 3 were on the N64.
Yeah, I loved 1, loved 2, but 3 I just found really confusing. A lot of time.
Yeah, 3 was weird because it also had the reverse mushrooms. Yeah. You could go backwards.
Yeah, it was just a weird game. What were some of the games you played on the PlayStation when you were a kid?
One of my all-time favorites is Metal Gear.
Metal Gear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever I play Metal Gear, it's I get turned into Saul's at Metal Gear.
David Hayter comes right out of you.
Metal Gear.
Yeah.
And you know, Psycho Mantis, that first time when you fight him and you got the controller thing going on.
Put the controller for you see my psychic powers.
Yeah. You know, all the outside of the box thinking with that game is such a fantastic game.
It's like the new one. That's a game where you actually really have to think of how you're going to approach a situation.
Exactly.
You have to be tactical.
Yeah.
And then again, with the Resident Evil series, the first game, man, when that zombie turns, they go to that cutscene and he's munching on one of the stars guys, and he turns his head slowly.
It's in the hallway, right? Yeah. It's when you're above the whole floor.
Exactly.
And you come through it's when you go through the first door and go up the stairs. You go right in the hallway once you defeat him, you go to the room and do a puzzle.
It's
with
pretty
the,
jarring, wasn't it?
I remember, I was 5 or 4 years old when the PlayStation first came out, and I just remember opening that first door and seeing that zombie. I ran to my mom.
Goodness gracious.
I was 4.
You said that on the air.
I was 4.
Aww. You should have put your dukes up. You were in martial arts then?
It was a video game. I'm not going to kick my grandmother's TV and break it at the time.
Hey, man, if need be.
I just remember it, and I remember just how realistic that for the time looked, and now we see something like Uncharted 4 or Last of Us, and we're just still good games. Graphics are crap now.
And here's a question for you. How hard is it to go back and play a game that has just terrible... It's a great game otherwise, but the graphics are just garbage.
Oh, not very. Like I said, I still go back and play them.
Go back and play Legend of Zelda Link to the Past. Or Super Nintendo. I would still go back and play that.
Yeah,
and
that's a difference. Super Nintendo, I can go back to that any time of the day, but I really have a hard time going back to PS1 era games and playing these blocky, blurry, pixely, basically an ugly looking game.
Well, like Warhawk and all they had back then.
Yes.
That one was fun, but I mean, going back to now, going with say for instance, you have Ace Combat now, and go back to Warhawk.
Yeah.
It would be hard to do because you'd be like, I like this game, and you would kind of you kind of moved on from there.
Yeah.
Do you still enjoy them though when you play them? Do you?
Some of them I do, some of them I don't, and I don't know if that comes down to me being a graphics snob or for example, Resident Evil. That's a hard game because the controls are all wonky, right?
Well, they have the remastered ones on the PS4 now, which I haven't even grabbed. I want to though.
Yeah, with the updated modern controls, but then. You know, that really makes the game a whole lot easier because your guy was essentially a tank that you just controlled very weirdly, and that was part of the charm of the game.
The camera angles did not help in that game either.
No.
There's also that. So, I mean, playing those old games is I had a lot of fun, but do you want nostalgia? Your nostalgia is always this game was super great, but then do you want that ruined by going back and playing the game and going, oh, man, wish I hadn't have done that.
Yeah, you kind of ruin your childhood. Then.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of the whole N64 era, that was also one of the bigger debates was going on about it was between Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
Really? As to which is the better game?
Yes, back then.
Because of there was...
They were both 3D Zelda games at around the same era.
Yeah. And it's funny, I know what you're saying. If I went back to play Resident Evil now, I probably couldn't do it. I would have to go with the ones that are on the PS4 store, the remastered ones.
Yep.
And it's weird because in the store, Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil 0 are in this collector's packets, $64.99. I can just go in the store and get it for $20 a piece, so I'm saving like $30. But I mean, like, I still love going back and playing like Jackie Chan Stunt Master on the PlayStation 1, or even playing Ninja Turtles in Time on the SNES, which is like my favorite game of all time.
I think I would go back and play Jet Moto on PS1. Yeah. I would. I mean, even though I know it's not gonna be
great.
Yeah, it's not gonna be great at all, because I mean, especially for the racing dynamics they have out now these days.
Yeah,
going back then, I would still go back and play, just like, you know, I remember doing this and do some tricks on the bike and all. But I mean, far as like, you know, forsaking all other systems to go backwards, no.
Like, we've been spoiled by games, like, to the games of today. We really have, because I think, like, is that possibly why you're saying what you're saying? Because
I think so. I mean, like, you've got the say what you will about games being not polished when they're released or whatever, but if you're comparing them to games from, like, the 90s era, and, like, I was in high school, so this is, like, my prime gaming time, right?
I was born in 91, so what does that tell you?
I graduated in 95, so, yeah, I feel you're coming from, Travis. I feel where you're coming from.
Right? So, like, so I know these games inside and out, and how they played and everything, and then, you know, being able to go forward and with the PS2 and then the PS3 and the PS4, and just, you know, being like playing Nathan Drake, and this guy is so fluid and he moves perfectly. You want him to do something, he's gonna do it, and if there's an error, it's usually on your part. It's not because of the controls or anything like that. Whereas when you go back and play these old PS1 games, or even like Nintendo 64, playing GoldenEye, which is one of the greatest games, you know, of that generation, and trying to play that with just a single analog stick.
Yeah.
Where, you know,
we're used to two now.
Yeah,
for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So it, all of a sudden you're like, and you have to unlearn what you know, which is, you know, a little bit annoying, I guess.
Almost like in a sense you have to regress.
What scares me is, like, with, like you were saying, Nathan Drake, and do you know who Colin Moriarty is from Kind of Funny? He was from IGN.
Yeah.
He's, I've said it before on the show, he's probably one of the most hardest critics of video games I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
Like, he very select few. He was saying, like, about Uncharted 4, like, it's just so, not perfect, but, like, we've been spoiled by games, like, just the realism we see of that.
Yeah.
And any game that's possibly coming out in the next couple months, maybe we're not gonna like it just because we've been spoiled by this one game,
right?
Because of the way it is.
Yep.
I don't know if I would say we've been spoiled. I just say, like, you know, I think the game design studios have actually stepped their game up, so to speak. They've actually, like, you know, they've heeded the call. They want to put something out there that actually is polished and all, where in, let's say, 5 years' time, we can go back and still get that sense of nostalgia. Like, oh, I remember playing this game when it first came out, blah, 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 blah. And it still be relevant in the gaming sector and all.
Yeah, for sure.
So I mean, I don't think, like, I wouldn't say we're spoiled. I think they were just, like, you know, the bar has been raised, so to speak. Because, I mean, we can go back and play Double Dragon on the NES. I
still love it.
Yeah, it's still fun.
Yeah.
But we're going to be looking like, man, this is kind of crappy. Yeah, it's kind of crappy. It looks kind of crappy and all, but I mean, far as the game itself, it's still fun.
Trainer Ray, do you think we've been spoiled by newer games coming out like this?
I really don't know, because I honestly never really focus too much on graphic level. To me, it's not an importance for me. For me, it's more solid controls, being able to actually play the game.
Yeah,
and see. For that reason, I can jump into, like, say, older, like, the original Paper Mario. I can jump into Banjo-Kazooie, all those old classics, and still just have a fun time if controls aren't an issue for me.
Right, yeah.
I guess with saying that, it just depends what kind of person. Like, you say you're a movie person. Like, you are, when you work with movies.
Exactly.
You look at graphical, you look at story, graphics, as a kid, like, well, as I was, like, 10 or 11 years old, or graphics weren't a big thing to me. But, like, now that I see them, I look at them, like, okay, these are fantastic. But to me, it's all about story and gameplay. How's the game feel? How good is the story? Can I follow it easily? Can I follow it even with all this going on? And,
right.
You know? Yeah. And that's a very big thing, because I find that can make or break a game sometimes. Like, a story can make or break a game. I've given games low review scores due to a poor story.
Yeah.
Come on.
For me, like, well, I grew up with Mario games, so story has never been really relevant for me.
Yeah.
I mean, just need solid gameplay.
I don't think I could go back to playing an original SNES Mario Kart. I'd have to stay with the one on the Wii U. Because on Mario Kart 8, because, like, Because it's just so fantastic, right?
Yeah. I actually just the Mario Kart was one of my first SNES purchases, and I was a master at that. Like, I could decimate anybody that I played with.
Oh, yeah.
And I just downloaded it for the first time and played it probably in the last 8 years or something like that.
Okay.
And I got destroyed on like 50 CCs. I was like, man.
Yeah.
Is it because like do you have a Wii U?
Yeah, and I have Mario Kart.
Is it because you've become so accustomed to that? Because you're so used to have to take the drifting turns.
Exactly.
I think it was like that for me. My friend who's really good at the one on the Nintendo 3DS. Yeah, Mario Kart 7. I think it was like the one on the Wii U. But when we went back to playing the first one on the SNES, I'm like, man, I just can't do this. Like the eighth one is just so colorful, so beautiful, and so much fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, really. And I think that's why we say we are spoiled by games, because we get those advancements. You know what I mean? Like, we get those
advancements and games. I think what's going to happen is you're going to, like, once you get two more generations down of kids who are playing games, they're going to look back at, like, PlayStation games, and they're going to be more, not necessarily viewed as things to play, but more as, like, art to look at.
Yeah,
exactly. I agree with that.
That's how video games are right now currently, because video games have made such a, before they were just something to play, like when during our generation, like during the early 90s or early 2000s, but now they're helping people with like anxiety problems, depression, people with disabilities, and even use them in medical doctor's offices now, which is telling me that we're going in the right direction. They're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
The technology is actually improving. It's actually being, for lack of better phrases, it's being exploited and spread out in so many different avenues.
Okay.
Where people are actually seeing how viable this industry is.
Yeah, for sure.
For teaching, for rehabilitation. Mm. There's a plethora of other things and all. So I mean, I'm glad to be on the. On the tip of the spear, the knife's edge, ground floor, however you want to call it. I'm glad to be a part of this industry.
Yeah. We have about 10 minutes left, so I do have one question for you folks. What are you guys looking forward to coming out in the next coming months or so?
So the interesting thing for me is, like I was telling you guys before the show aired, is I'm a cheapskate, so...
Yeah.
the nice thing about being a cheapskate is I wait like a year before I buy all the AAA games.
Okay, mm-hmm. We're cheapskates too, but
I can contain myself, and I'm old and have like tons of responsibility. So
we do too, but we just don't pay for it.
There's that. So for me, like a new game is something that was out last year. So like something like Uncharted, I won't touch that until next year. And it's like you guys might be like, how can you do that? And me of 10 years ago would ask the same question, but
yeah,
it's just like that time flies, and by the time Uncharted hits like that $40 or $30 mark or whatever, I'm like, Uncharted, sweet.
There are
about that balling on the budget.
It's true. I mean, I've done things like that, I've waited for games like Assassin's Creed Syndicate. I rented it once because I had a subscription fee to this thing that's in Canada, and it's wonderful. Wonderful subscription thing. It's like $20 for how many games? Like 2 games a month or whatever. You can keep them as long as you want. No late fees, nothing.
Okay.
I'm probably gonna grab Assassin's Creed Syndicate for $40 tomorrow. Like,
can't beat that.
At Digital World or something like that.
Right.
But like Uncharted, like there are some games I can't contain myself. Like Uncharted is definitely one of them, because Uncharted 2, I was the first PS3 game I ever played. It was the first one I got with my PS3 because my Xbox 360 red ringed. I had the Elite, and I took it. I'm like, my dad's like, let's see if we can take this to Digital World, see what we can get for it. My hard drive alone on my Xbox Elite was worth $110.
Oh wow!
And I had a bunch of games. So like, do you want a PS3? I'm like, sure. Like, do you want games? I'm like,
better.
I grabbed three. I think I grabbed Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and 2, and I grabbed Uncharted 2. And I was like, let me see what this Uncharted game is coming all about, and picked it up. Couldn't stop playing it. Yeah. I literally couldn't stop playing it. So
yeah, I used to be like that. I used to have like my series that I couldn't wait to get. Like I would not. Absolutely, I would say, yeah, I'd drop the $60 for it. That was like Metal Gear, and things like that. Mm. Nah, like I just bought Metal Gear like 2 months ago.
Oh, okay,
really?
Yeah, so
it's still great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, but what game are you planning on getting next? Like, do you have any plans on a certain game you're planning on getting?
What am I really interested in coming out? I think. I'm really interested to see this new Star Fox game.
Ah, okay. Cool.
It's getting such mixed reviews because of the weirdo controls.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to see if those controls you know, enhance the game, or if it's just so weird and so broken, and Nintendo just went out the, you know, too far into the left field, and you know, Nintendo has a habit of doing that, and sometimes they create really awesome stuff, and sometimes they miss the mark by a bit.
What about you, Big Fish? Like, what are you looking forward to? What's your next purchase for a game? Possibly?
My next purchase, I'm gonna be waiting for Ghost Recon Wildlands. I'm gonna pre-order that one.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna probably get it the night of.
Nice.
I'm not gonna wait. I'm gonna.
it does look good. It's a game.
I'm gonna throw caution to the wind on that one.
I can't wait for it either. Trainer Red.
I'm going to get Overwatch when that comes out. I love that game so much. It's fun.
They snagged you by the bait.
Monster Hunter Cross.
Nice.
Once that hits, but we still don't have a solid release date because I love Monster Hunter. It's so much fun.
Nice.
And Pokemon Moon when that comes out in November.
Yeah. Nice. Mirror's Edge Catalyst for me because I was a big fan of the first one. Mafia 3. Mm-hmm. And possibly Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutants in Manhattan, the new one that's coming up by Platinum Studios.
Yeah, I'm crossing my fingers that thing's going
to
be awesome.
I'm waiting for reviews because if the reviews are good, I'll grab it. But yeah, that's what we get. Mafia 3 is something I'm looking forward to because it takes place in the 60s, 1968 in New Orleans. You play as it's the Black Mafia this time, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Big Easy.
And you play as a Frank Clinton. Something like that. He's back.
Like a Vietnam War.
Vietnam veteran comes back from Vietnam. Okay. Yeah, and it's very interesting because like the music's there. Like that was a great time for music. Like the Woodstock was happening around that time of year too, and like just the music in the cars back then. So I'm very interested to see how this is. You're
gonna love it.
So we want to thank you for coming on the show today. Where can people find you again?
Hey, so I'm Travis Grant. I'm one of the co-owners of Unplugged Board Game Cafe right next to Picaroons. We also have our escape rooms above us. They're called No Escape. So if you guys want to come down and try your luck at escaping our escape rooms, 418 Queen Street.
What's your guys' hours?
We are opened on most days from noon until midnight. Friday and Saturday, we're open from noon until 1 in the morning.
Sweet.
You guys have a social media page?
We sure do. You can check us out on Facebook. Most of the stuff that we talk about, and I live for a place that's called Unplugged. I'm plugged in quite a bit. I live on the social media, and so if you guys ever want to leave a message or have a question about something, feel free to drop a message on Facebook, and I get back to you usually within the hour.
On Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that.
All that stuff. We're all in there. We're super high tech for a low tech concept.
Yeah.
Even better. Yeah. I want to come over there and play some Monopoly. I want to come over there and play some Monopoly. It's old school it up.
This has been Game Wars of the Roundtable. I've been your host, Ice.
I've been the Big Fish, the Hook Gamer.
And I'm Red. Happy gaming, everyone.
Happy gaming.
Good people.
Good people aren't hard to find. They're right around the corner at the end of the line. It's true. Good people got peace of mind. And I'd like to spend my time with you. Good people aren't hard to find. They're right around the corner at the end of the line. It's true. Can be a scary place. Hard to keep your faith in the human race. We're running out of trees and we're running out of space, but we'll never run out of good people. And got
got yourself so high, like new roommates. At first it's so agreeable. Fake drugs.